Let's go back to the phones. 865-200-5402. One line available if you want to get in. Again, 865-200-5402. 865-200-5402. Let's get our next call in on your SmartWay Dalton Bearing Hydraulic fifth quarter fan reaction. Hello and welcome.
Go on, guys. Berto.
Hey, welcome in.
Hey, thanks, guys. I really appreciate it. Tonight was fun. It shouldn't have been fun, but it was fun as a fan to enjoy a game that was close and win one that was close. Truth, guys, real question. Can we win a game other than tonight against maybe the worst South Carolina team in the last, 7 years? Can we win a game that we take a pretty commanding lead in? I mean, does Bush Jones truly, because look at it. We trailed in Kentucky and we won, right? We trailed in Georgia and we won. Can Butch Jones truthfully hold on to a lead? Oh. Tonight, if that's anybody besides South Carolina with a pulse on offense, we lose that game. Do you agree?
Russell, your thoughts?
Well, probably not. I mean, if it's a better team, Tennessee probably loses. But we're all talking about South Carolina being a crap team, and they're certainly
having
a bad season.
They
don't have a quarterback. But listen, Tony, I know you're not a believer in Texas A&M, but they're 7-2 right now with their only losses to pretty good teams. And they struggled to beat South Carolina at home in a one-score ball game last week. So this Florida team that's going to Atlanta was lucky as hell to beat Vanderbilt, but who makes, you know, South Carolina look like
a
competent team.
But his
today.
Point is, it's not so much your opponent today. The point is, and the point's
no,
a great point,
who the opponent is.
We jump out big time on people, and we lose our focus. And LSU just made a play. They just hit a 30-yard pass downfield. Russell, wait till you see this. This Harris kid. I'm going to tell you something. When I look at tonight's game, I can't help but feel positive and good about it. But at the same time, I think that is something, if I'm on that coaching staff and we're behind closed doors and I'm Butch Jones and I look at my staff and go, guys, why do we, when we're up 17-0 in games, why do we die? And then why, when we're losing by a couple of scores, three to be exact, right? Was it 24-3 against
Georgia? We were down 24-3, Tony.
And come back like a house of fire, like we just got the hot tag.
And
the
Omni
in Atlanta and beat the living
hell.
We gave them, we gigged them. We cut them the hard way. We gigged them.
Yep.
It doesn't make any sense. It's the personality of this team. It's either a coaching deal or maybe Sean's right. Maybe this team puts it in park too soon.
Let's just talk about today's game. And Roberto, I'm sorry, I didn't hear most of your call. It cut out for me for some reason, but look.
Okay.
This week, no matter what the coaches say, and that's why I think the coaches did a great job coming into the game, because those players sat there and watched that film all week long, and there's nothing a coach can say to convince a kid they're going to have to give max effort when they see that. They know, they see that South Carolina's garbage. They know they can whip their guy anytime they want, and they did it. I mean, they jumped out. It was 14-0. It looked like it was going to be 70-0. And then they just put it on cruise control, and they had a hard time turning it back on. And, I get everybody wants a pound of flesh from Butch every week, but from what I saw, and I'm not here, and I'm not telling you I'm right, but I just saw a team, players that went through the motions. And then when they had to get a play, they had to get a first down, they had to get a touchdown, they got it. And, I think, you know, it had to go, they knew they were going to North Texas, had family in. I think they just lost concentration.
One more quick thing, guys, and I'll jump out, and I really appreciate you guys. And I appreciate what you're doing every game, Tony. This is just awesome. I actually heard a guy listening to you on the way out of the stadium, and I couldn't get cell reception for some reason. So I walked out with him. So I'd like to say thanks to that guy for letting me listen to your show on the way out.
How cool.
It's really cool. But I mean, it's just so cool. It's kindred spirits, man. Like, I was like, you're as big a sheep as I am. And he's like, yep. So I really worry about third and what I call third and Jancic at this point. You know we're going to rush three. Finally, we rush three and we get burned and burned and burned and burned. And then we rush five and we almost get a sack and the quarterback throws a horrendous pass. and then we rush three again, and they're tied in. Thank God we had a guy put a hat on the ball and got him to fumble. What a great play to end that game. But still, it's just so frustrating when you're a fan. Guys, I shouldn't know scheme the way that the coaches should know scheme. And I know that if we rush three, we're going to give up lots of yards. It's the Mustang all over again. And I watched that when I was a kid, and I'm basically seeing it all over again. And it's just so frustrating because, guys, truthfully, and I think you guys are going to agree, should we be 7-2 right now at worst and sit here going, I don't know, if Florida were, you know, if they trip up next week or this or that, we have a chance to win, play maybe in the national title hunt.
How do you answer that? How do you answer that?
Thanks, guys. Have a great day.
Thank you.
Oh, me?
Yeah, no. How do you answer that, Sinclair? And then I'll go to you, Dobbsy.
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I think what you are is what you are. Yeah. I mean, you know, who knows? If we didn't lose those games early, would we have come back and beat Georgia like we did? We're so motivated. We missed a couple of opportunities. Certainly we did. But I'd like to think we're learning from them. Who knows? Maybe if we won those games, we'd have lost today. I don't know how you just take it. It's just this one game. I think you said it best at first. Winners win, losers lose, and we're becoming winners. And that's just the bottom line.
Dobbsy, what do you say?
Well, if Roberto's position is Tennessee would have lost tonight if they're playing a team just minimally better, I'll say, okay, perhaps you're right, but I also think they would have lost against this South Carolina team if they had played in September. So that's progress, and I know people don't want to hear that.
Well, hold on a second. Here's what I would say to that. And sorry to be so wordy, but I would suggest it is, I think Kentucky's a better team than South Carolina, and we just ripped the hell out of them last week. And if I don't believe if we would have been playing a better team today, we would have lost as much focus. I think you'd have seen a different effort from us out there.
I don't know that South Carolina's. I think you guys are split.
It's like a basketball team playing to the level of
competition. South Carolina's horrible.
Well, South Carolina's defense is really bad. They've got two good linebackers, and that is pretty much it on defense. And we saw that the first couple series, and then Tennessee lost their focus, lost their mojo, and we looked like Nick Saban's hair down the stretch at different parts of that game. Cinco, I've got to run here. That was a quick hour, brother. Give me your final thoughts here, and I'm gonna keep the calls going. But give me a final thought here, Cinco.
The letdown during the game is you see it all the time, all throughout the country. Winning teams always win those games. The score may not indicate it, but I don't think it was that close of a game. We were dominating. We're on our way to 8-4. It is interesting to be frustrated with this, and if you want to do that, that's fine. But we're starting to become a winning team. I think someone said Missouri. I think we will be sky high going into that Missouri game. And I think again, the pendulum's swinging up. So, thanks for having me, Tony. Russell, always great to be with you.
Hey, Cinco, tell them where they can find you during the week.
Oh, well, thanks. Hey, we got a little dental practice out here in Maryville, 681-3004. But let's get some ball talk. I appreciate it, Tony. And good talk to you, Russell. And hopefully by this week we'll be celebrating a new coach at Chelsea.
Wow, a little European soccer talk. Don't you dare answer that.
He's
Dubsy.
He's turned on.
Don't you dare even acknowledge. Don't you even dare.
It's like his stance on Butch Jones. He was ready to run him out earlier in the year, and now he's celebrating him as the second coming of General Nealand. Now he's ready to run off a guy who just won us the Premier League 3 months ago.
865, you just acknowledged it.
Yes.
See, I let you talk and you acknowledged it, and that urinates me off. 865-200-5402. Anything else interesting in terms of comments from anybody tonight, Russell, and then we'll go back to the phones?
No.
Okay. Any injury news? Anything like that?
I think Dobbs is banged up. Because I think it's a different game, too. He was not his usual self running the ball. I think he ran 7 or 8 times, but he didn't have any really explosive plays running the ball. And Tennessee's offense is obviously much better when that's the case. I think the coaches were protecting him, trying to get this win without having to use him running and expose him to shots. Certainly they'll probably do more of that next week to try and get him healthy.
One other note for you just about Florida. They have the game on the line today at the end of the game. you realize what they did to Vanderbilt's quarterback, right, at winning time? They blitzed him from every possible, and I mean possible, possible place. I mean they blitzed him from every single possible place imaginable. Let's go back to the phones. 865-200-5402. If you want to get in with us again, 865-200-5402. Alabama rips off a big play. And then a personal foul penalty at the back end of it. A face mask on LSU. Kenyon Drake with a huge run. Let us continue as we roll back to the phones and get our next call in. Hello and welcome, Smartway Dalton Bearing Hydraulic, fifth quarter fan reaction. Welcome in.
Hey, guys. This is Devin calling from Louisville.
Hey, Devin. Good to talk to you in beautiful Louisville, man.
Yeah, man. Hey, a win is a win. Crying out loud, we won the game. I'm getting kind of tired of every time, at the end of every game, we're having this discussion of, with some fans, of whether Butch Jones is going to get it done or not. You know, we won the game.
Right.
It was an ugly game. I'm going to get to some negatives here in a minute. But
sure.
Right now, you know, we're not the only team in the country that barely won a game against a bad team, okay? Ohio State's done it a couple times this year already, you know, and we won the game. So I'm glad to see that. Now, my couple of negatives, I guess, at the end of the game there, we've got to figure a way to not give them back the ball. We've done that several times this year.
Yep.
We've got to get a first down there. We've got to figure out something in the play calling and get a first down.
Let's go back to that series, because you're really in a spot there. You don't want to throw the ball because you don't want to risk anything, right? We all agree on that. The last thing you want to do there is have a tip pass, turn the ball over, give this team life. You want to make them drive the length of the field. And you know your punter is very capable. So I know some people were all over our staff for that. I don't know. I mean, I know some people were even saying on fourth and short, maybe go there. I don't know if I go in the shadows of my own goal line. I don't do that. That's insane.
Well, I mean, I'm wondering, is it an offensive line thing where we just still don't have the offensive line to get those gritty yards there at the end of the game? I don't know. I agree. I do think Dobbs looked banged up. But a positive, I would have to say, here a couple weeks ago, we're calling for Butch Jones to can Dormady. And listen, he stuck behind him. And now, you know, he's back on track. So I give kudos to Coach Jones for sticking with him. I think it helped his confidence, and he's looked good the last couple games. So, anyway, I'll hang up and listen. I appreciate you guys' show. And, love the passion. Go Vols.
Thank you. Another thing that a guy, Will, says here on Twitter, one thing Tennessee has to change offensively, Russell, with their approach is we've got to start throwing the ball beyond the sticks on third down. This, when you have a third and 10, throwing the ball 4 yards
they
short.
They love them some screen passes.
It's okay if you can get it upfield. When you don't, it's asinine. You're not giving yourself a chance to succeed. You've got to give yourself a chance to succeed.
I haven't noticed it being a huge problem because they've been very successful throwing the ball to their running backs. There was one play where it was about a third and eight, and they threw it to Pearson on a crossing route, and he ended up being about a yard short. That was kind of frustrating, but, I mean, that's not a Tennessee issue. I mean, you see that in the NFL now, too. It's about getting the playmakers the ball in space.
Which I don't mind.
As the coaches say.
I don't mind that. I mean, my Eagles did that. I went on the road to Carolina, and they threw a ball underneath to Josh Huff after they called a timeout. And that was the play you call? Yeah. I mean, you got to be freaking kidding
me. Well, you want to talk about bad play calls. How about South Carolina on the first fourth down they went for? Fourth and four, and they just... The simple dive play right up the middle.
How about the play, the series they had on the goal line, where they didn't go to Farrow Cooper one time. They didn't call his name. They didn't even try. man, good thing I'm not doing a show in that market, because I don't understand what they were doing with Farrow Cooper tonight. And I'm not sure Farrow Cooper understood what he was doing out there on the field tonight. It's another hour, action-packed hour. Here we go.
It's time for another hour of power on today's game. It's the Smartway Dalton Behring fifth quarter fan reaction, where you are the star of the postgame. Presented without commercial interruption. The lines are open now. 865-200-5402. 865-200-5402. And now, it's time to get to your host, Tony Basilio.
Tennessee wins today in Rainy Nealon Stadium. Beautiful, beautiful day for football as tons of former players were around today. It was a special day on the campus, getting us ready for the noon start next week. But Tennessee hangs on if jumping all over South Carolina early. A classic Southeastern Conference football game, which is why we love this stuff. And I tweeted that out earlier and people jumped all over me, because you're not allowed to say anything positive about the game because the snarks in cyberspace are going to pound you. They're going to pound you if you dare say that you're just enjoying the game. I give those Carolina kids a hell of a lot of credit for the effort they gave. A lot of credit for the effort they gave. That's why we love college football. Hey, Vanderbilt had nothing to play for today, and they just about got Florida down there. It's a great, great, great game.
Nick Saban is turning quickly into Bill Murray's character from Kingpin. That is a comb-over of epic proportions.
Well, he's got the comb-over, plus he's got the
fresh coat.
The brown, yeah. All those old guys.
The Tony
really
Barnhart
funny
special.
Looking, yeah, the really funny-looking brown. I'll never do that. I mean, I'll go high and tight, clean and clear, or just keep wearing floppy hats on my TV show. Let's go back to the phones. 865, which is what I do, 865-200-5402. If you want to get in the mix and in the hunt with us today.
By the way, first 1-10 wins this game.
Oh, it's not great. I love football like this. Hey, Big 12 fans, need not apply tonight when you're watching LSU and Alabama play tonight, because they're doing something that's foreign to you people. This is actually real football here. Unlike what Arkansas did today with Ole Miss, too much scoring for me. I can't. No thanks. Let's go back to our phones. Get our next call in. Hello and welcome. Yeah, hi. Welcome in.
Hey, Bruce.
Yeah. What's going on?
Well, see here. This is I got through on the fourth call, so it did not take me 54 calls to get through. That was I just want to tell you how lucky I feel, but there's a process that I follow, Tom.
You did. You followed.
I followed the process. Eyes on the thighs, 6-3 effort. You know, it takes a lot of time to be able to call into this show, and I'm grateful to be here, Tom.
Well, and I just want to say to you, I want to say to you tonight as you go, during your call, you must show resiliency, and you must, I want you to each and every day, as you think about your program here, I want you to understand that it's invaluable, this time that we're about to spend. And I want you to also know that Russell tonight and what we're doing here is really a work in progress. And this
That's
will
right.
be a great challenge tonight of your mental toughness and maturity. You are caller number 19 on
awesome.
The program thus far. So go ahead, caller number 19.
It's all.
Hey, Tone, I'm going to remember this feeling. I have had this call circled on my calendar. It's been one of the toughest ones of the season to make.
Thank you.
Man, I'll tell
Very
you what,
good. This is, you've got athleticism. I'll tell you what you've got tonight is the power of the position.
Hey, listen, you said a mouthful there just about enjoying the game. It's been a long time for us as Tennessee fans that we've just been able to sit and enjoy a game and just be glad to win, you know? And, man, I could snark this game to death, and there was plenty of badness out there. But there's some good stuff, too. There was, I tell you what, I think, well, first of all, I got to say one more eyes on the thighs reference, all right? The guy that Hurd ran over tonight's Hurd victim, eyes on the thighs, man. He took it right there in the the shoulder area. He really did.
That's two kids now. The kid from Georgia and the kid from South Carolina. They're going to go home and tell their friends this summer, because their friends are going to say to them, man, we saw Hurd run you over, and they're going to say, guys, you have no idea.
Oh, there was somebody last week. He got a couple of Kentucky's players, too.
You have no idea what it's like trying to get that guy onto the ground. I mean, you imagine you're standing there. You've seen it on film, right? Because you know that kid. Those kids have all seen that kid at Georgia get run over. Al Harris Jr. is out there at night in the flat going, oh, my God, I'm going to get it. And he sure did. He got it.
Yeah. Well, with Kentucky, he just ran around those guys. I mean, they didn't hardly get close to him. One thing I hadn't heard tonight, I really felt like Cam Sutton got jobbed on that strip that he had. You remember that?
Yeah, I think now
they blew the whistle.
Yeah, the problem is they blew the whistle, and they can't review the play. That is a non-reviewable play. Now, if they want to put that in the canon, that you can review it, and then we can say he got jobbed. But it's
the problem is you'd have to have audio. Because once you blow the whistle, the play is dead. Tennessee's benefited.
Yeah.
I can't remember which game it was, but they benefited from that. It was against
Alabama
Oklahoma.
It was against Alabama, too, on the fumble, where they basically said the play was over.
Forward progress.
It was, and there was a call in the Oklahoma game that was similar to that. So the forward progress
Dobbs
rule,
fumbled it, and Oklahoma returned it for a pick six.
It was Dobbs' fumble.
Midfield. Yeah, that's right.
So. When I replayed that on my DVR, man, and I'm telling you, I did not hear that whistle till after the ball was out. But, hey, guess what? It's still a win.
Yeah, I think you're right. And, look, I think when I heard the whistle, I thought the whistle came later after the strip. So
that's
I'm going to say I agree with you. The problem is, though, those guys went to review a play. They're not allowed to review. It was kind of like in the ACC last week. Guys, we're looking at stuff we're not allowed to look at. I wish these damn people would understand what they're doing. Both broadcasters are on there tonight, and this is my understanding of it as well. You are not. Andre Ware said, what are they reviewing? You can't review that. They're reviewing something that's not reviewable.
Well, when Andre Ware is a step ahead of the officiating, you know you got a clown for calling that game.
Don't rip Andre Ware.
He
did a nice job with our buddy Tom Hart tonight.
Brutal.
You know, it takes 6 or 7 years to have a truly good officiating crew.
It's a process.
You know that's right.
And it's culture. What it comes down to is it comes down to culture.
Cultivating a competitive culture.
What I want to see are these officials getting 1% better each and every day.
It's pride.
That's right.
Yes.
I felt like our team, they started off hot, and I'm going to wait and see if anybody else did this, but it looked to me like there was a lot of jawing going on back and forth. I think we really wanted to take a piece out of South Carolina, but the jawing and the jacking around got to going, and it got in their head after that, and I think it really slowed them. You saw Jawan Jennings with that penalty, the offsetting penalty. You saw Brian Randolph. You saw just all kinds of stuff. And even the one on Dylan Wiseman, I thought was, to me, it's ludicrous. Look, if there's actually a fumble here, then the ball's still live, and all he did was shove the guy down. How's that a penalty? But, hey, listen, we got to win. And once again, I'm going to tell you, UT owns Carolina, all right? That's how it is. The rent comes due once a year, every year. UT owns Carolina. They have not. I mean, when's the last time that Carolina beat a Tennessee team that had a winning record? I'm struggling to think of it. The only thing I can think of, guys, is 92 with Steve Tannehill and the mullet.
It has been a long, long time since Carolina's beaten a really good Tennessee team. And to your point tonight, what must it be like for the Carolina fan making their way back to Columbia this evening, leaving Knoxville, with the knowledge that Clemson had a gutty second half effort, did not play their best game, was number one in the polls this week, which is something that Carolina always wanted to be under Spurrier. They always wanted to be delivered to the top of the mountaintop the way Spurrier delivered Florida. Now, granted, Spurrier took them to higher points in his time there than they have ever seen, and probably, truth be known, will ever see again. But they tonight have the knowledge that Clemson is going to be number one, two, whatever, but they're solidly in that top four after beating Florida State today in a very tough football game in their building. A really good win for Clemson, by the way.
How hilarious. be if Clemson makes it all the way through and then gets beaten by a crummy South Carolina team in the 12th game of their season.
I would cheer.
That'd be the most Clemson thing ever.
I would love it.
Hey, that's why we watch the game, right?
That's exactly why.
I totally see it
happening. This game,
hey,
so that's absolutely possible.
Today, we saw it today, guys. People who looked at our schedule 5 games ago and said, we're running the table, we're not good enough to count games.
Yeah.
We weren't good enough to count this game. And you know what? We're not good enough to count the Missouri game, and we're not good enough to count the Vanderbilt game. We're not.
We're not that far removed, Tone, from being a program that just about anybody could roll their helmet out and beat us. You know?
Exactly.
We're not that far removed from being there. I think we know that as a fan base, too. And I certainly appreciate being able to just gut out a win just like this. Just get the win. You know, get past it.
And laugh.
Figure out what you're doing wrong.
Yeah.
Get better.
And laugh at the goofiness and have fun with it. And like you said earlier, I want us to get to the point where people quit making everything a referendum on our head coach.
Yeah.
And just enjoy the damn game in front of you. It's just
Tony, you know that's a process. That could take 6 or 7 years. So
you know what that is, though? You know what that is? It's a product. Well, it's true. It's a great point by you, and I love the line. But the truth is, it's all about this coach worship stuff because we've made it all about who these coaches are instead of what we're watching on the field. And these big money coaches, it's who cares? Who cares?
One more thought tonight on the offense, and I love your comment about the fullback. I watch every week, and I think to myself, my kingdom for a fullback. But tonight, on a real crummy field, on a wet field where everybody's slipping and sliding, what would you give to watch Jalen Hurd or to watch our offensive line, to watch our offense, to be able to just take it straight up the middle, no funny stuff, nothing fancy. We're just going to run straight downhill at you, and I don't have to worry about making a cut until I get past the line. I mean, you do that. You get Hurd 2 steps past the line without any contact. Son, it's on like Red Dawn. You know what I'm saying?
I 5,000% agree with you, and I appreciate your phone call. Thank you.
Take care, brother. Go Big Orange.
6 past the hour. If you want to get up with us tonight, 865-200. 5402 as we're well into hour number 2 here on your Smartway Dalton Behring Hydraulic. Fifth quarter fan reaction, an opportunity for you to get in with us if you've been encountering busy signals. A chance for you to jump on with us tonight and talk about Tennessee's victory over South Carolina. If you got something you want to get off your chest, let's do that. If you want to talk about the day that was in the Southeastern Conference, go for it. If you've got a bone to pick with myself or any of our cavalcade of guests, hosts, have at it. We'd love to hear from you at 865-200-5402. Again, 865-200-5402 if you want to get in with us tonight on the Smartway Dalton Behring Hydraulic fifth quarter fan reaction, the place where you, and I mean you, are the star of the show, and you become our fellow broadcasters. And you will hear your voice shot through the cyberspace.
By the way, Tony, important development from the press box today. I'm told Rick Barnes, Tennessee's new basketball coach, not a big fan of the halftime spread offered in the media lounge, the press box. He said, quote, "This is Hormel chili out of a can. This isn't the kind of chili you put on a hot dog."
Wow. Wow.
Important stuff.
Where'd you get that?
I don't divulge my sources.
By the way, we talked about the game last night. We were on here talking about the basketball game. We'll be on after the first basketball game as well. Let's go to the phones, 865-200-5402. Again, 865-200-5402. Let's get to our next phone caller if you want to get in with us. Hello and welcome. Smartway Dalton Behring Hydraulic fifth quarter fan reaction. Welcome in.
Greetings.
Yes, hello.
Hey, this is Q. I created an algorithm here to get straight through. It was beautiful. It was genius.
Thank you, Q.
James Bond coming out, and it's better than anything he could ever come up with.
Thank you. Thank you, Q.
Absolutely, a win is a win. I remember going down to Columbia a few years back and watching Revesz get an interception in the Dooley years, and it just being a struggle. And there's 3 years in a row against South Carolina. Last year at this time, I was listening to this game on the radio in the Philippines, and it was great to be in attendance tonight and watch us just pull one out.
Oh, wow, man. Rick, what were you doing in the Philippines?
I was just on a mission trip there.
Oh, well, great to have you back, brother.
Thank you, sir. Rick Barnes was at the game tonight. I'm glad that he has finally made it into Knoxville. Looking forward to basketball season now. But glad he decided to make a showing. I've been critical about Butch Jones and his staff up to midway through the year. I think you've seen improvement through these guys throughout the year. And I think last year at this time, just like I kind of saw tonight, it's almost like they've hit a wall of, I don't know what the correct term is, attrition or whatever, but it's almost like it's not only a physical toughness, but a mental toughness to take it out through the year. They've had a tough month, with the Bama and Georgia. And I think last week, even though it was a big win and we seemed to kind of steamroll through it, I think it took a lot of energy and emotion. I think we got that lead early. And, this game, we thought we could just close it out from here on, from there, after that. But I'm proud of the guys. I'm proud of the effort. Hopefully next week can kind of be a practice week to get, ready for Missouri. And I think next week into the Missouri is where we can really see if we've taken that next step to be able to close out the year unlike we did, the past, couple years with, dropping that Missouri game at home and then that Vanderbilt game, 2 years ago. I think this is a time to see where, if this team has matured, because you're still dealing with a lot of young guys. I love you guys. My favorite show. Listen to you all the time. God bless you.
Thank you, man. Good talking to you. Let me say this to you. Next week, North Texas comes at a pretty good time. Now, I hate these games, okay? I hate with a capital hate. I'm not supposed to hate, but I hate these games. I can't help but think, though, that it's a pretty good thing for the football team to have this time. 865-200-5402. Next week's a game. You get Josh Dobbs in. You get him out. You don't play around. Don't get him hurt. You work Dormady. You work some other guys. Build some depth. Gain some confidence. Bino, I bring you in. Bino, thoughts, and then we'll go back to the phones.
Tony Bay, Russell, good to get out of there with a win. My biggest fear for this game was I thought it was the last game on the schedule that we could possibly suffer a letdown in. Then we jumped out to the 14-0 lead and looked real sharp doing it, and I thought, well, that was wasted worry. And then the letdown occurred after 14-0 for whatever reason. South Carolina's played better football for whatever reason since Steve Spurrier decided to leave, but we still had much more talent than them, and the way you leave a team like that in the game is you lose the turnover war and you drop touchdown passes, and you kind of turn your intensity off, and that's what we did. But thank heavens, for the second time, though neither one of them were pretty, our defense found a way to get a stop with a team coming down the field to beat us after we had botched that up on two other occasions.
And you know
good
what?
Good to get a win.
Great to get a win.
It keeps alive our hope for this season, which is for it to be a step forward for the program.
Do you know how much air that would have taken out of the balloon if that if that kid would have just gotten on the ground tonight and they kick a field goal? And I'm not sure they're kicking a field goal there, by the way, guys. If that fumble occurs, I'm not sure they're kicking a field goal. I'm not sure we're having a conversation about the game that goes overtime. I don't know what it is about our defense, but I had a friend of mine text me who, from the coaching profession, who said to me, why does Tennessee always look so tired at the end of these games?
Yeah.
That's something they got to address.
And it's not a terrible lack of depth. I mean, well, they're rotating guys along the defensive line.
They're playing a team tonight that was terrible. A team that everybody hammers.
They broke the quarterback Orth in half on the first series of the game.
That was just weird. The way that game just turned on a dime, Bino, and the way we looked like we were just holding on for dear life with South Carolina. Now, granted, I'm glad to get out with a win, okay?
Yeah.
After the first quarter,
that game just had a bad feel to it. The first quarter, it felt like that we were going to run away and hide. Every minute after the first quarter basically felt like we were holding on.
Yep, which is really strange against a Carolina team that was on fumes after two series. Fumes. They had no chance.
Yeah, I heard you talk about their body language, and that is absolutely the truth. When Perry Orth, basically, they went for it on fourth and two, and he just decided, I don't want the ball. You run it into this scrum right here. I thought, we're going to beat the daylights out of this bunch. But for whatever reason, we just kind of turned it off and didn't play with the intensity that this team, we've been accustomed to seeing them play with. And give South Carolina credit. They've had every reason to quit, and they haven't. And as I said, they've played better football since Spurrier left.
865-200-5402. As Alabama on top 9-0. Alabama on top 9-0, pending an extra point. LSU, no room so far to run the football with Alabama. I mean, this is a really, really, really impressive showing so far from Alabama. 8 minutes to go in the first half. TW says, if Malone catches that TD pass, you're talking about a different game as well. So there is a lot of truth to that. But, you know,
it's just a touchdown, though. You're up 31-24. They're still driving, like you said. I mean, who's to say if Jarrell Adams doesn't fumble on the last possession, they don't score a touchdown? It's still a one-possession game.
Back to our phones we go. Jarrell Adams is quite a player.
Wow.
Impressive. Back to the phones we go. Get our next call in here on your smart way. Dalton Behring Hydraulic, fifth quarter fan reaction. As Alabama up 10-0, hello and welcome.
Hey, Donnie.
Hey, welcome in.
Hey, it's Don.
Hey, Don.
Hey, before I get started on talking about tonight's game, I thought you'd enjoy this. My 9-year-old grandson got what they call a go card at Massville Elementary for his grades, and Tony Robinson was there, and he got to get his autograph.
Yeah, Tony told me he went down there and spoke to them, I want to say Thursday of last week, and said he had a great time. So tell your grandson Tony really enjoyed himself.
Well, I will. He really enjoyed getting to meet him and get his autograph. Of course, he's 9. All he knows about Tony Robinson is whatever me or somebody else tells him.
That's neat.
You know. But, yeah, I want to tell you that. You know, as far as the game goes, I don't know. I reckon Kentucky is our only SEC game that we're allowed to just sit back and pretty much enjoy. But I know you've mentioned them, but I thought three guys tonight that played the game or made big plays was Owen Williams just absolutely destroyed the offensive line for South Carolina. They tried double-teaming him, and he was shitting them. I have not seen him play that kind of football since he got on campus. I don't know what they fed him, but I hope they feed it to him some more.
Yeah, he balled out tonight. I think he had a total of 5 TFLs in the game, and he was, or 3 rather, and he was really, really great tonight.
You know, they showed a caption there once after 23 plays, offensive plays, we had 8 TFLs on. I mean, it was great while it was lasting, and I want to pat Medley on the helmet for, you know, we needed those 2 field goals. Butch said we'd need him this year. We did tonight. Wasn't that confident when he went out for the first one, but when he drilled it through the uprights, I was a lot more confident when he went out for the second.
I feel great for him, man. Good for that kid.
And then Malik Foreman, who, you know, has caught grief for 4 years up here and has, well, deserved a lot of the grief he caught. For him to be the man at the end, I'm glad that he got to have that. That's a memory he'll have, you know, once he leaves this university, he's always going to be able to tell his kids and grandkids about and a tight game and that's a wonderful thing for him. I'm not sure Malone seemed to be making so much progress and was playing so well. And I know it can happen at any time. It did to Georgia. We see it in the NFL. But Bob Kesslin had already called a touchdown, but I can't be critical of him because I had to. But that to me is concentration, and that's what Bean Owens and Seiko was talking about. I think it was, you know, a lot of lack of concentration out there tonight on some of those plays. But, and I'll ask one last question, and I'll hang up and let you guys comment. But is Jack Jones this year's Brett Kendrick, where he goes out and plays well, and then they decide not to play him, and they're going to play Wiseman?
Russell, how do you respond to that?
They obviously like Crowder and Wiseman and like the experience there.
How do you play like that against Alabama and lose your job? I mean, I'm not trying to be.
No, I'm not either. But it's
I'm not a family really member weird. Here. I'm just wondering. That kid better be hurt, is all I'm saying. And they're not telling us, which is possible. But I haven't heard that from anybody I talked to.
No,
that
went
into
play when Wiseman got hurt.
That's, or, you know, banged up, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Well, yeah, maybe.
Maybe beat up. There's no way that kid's just not playing. I mean, that kid is mean and nasty.
Oh, I want to see.
Well, against Alabama.
I want to see Jack Jones, Alex Ellis, and Josh Smith form a three-man hair metal band. Those guys got some nice locks.
Yeah, as I said, Tony said that's done, but I was going to say one other thing. I'm watching Fournette and I'm watching LSU.
Uh-huh.
They can't run against Alabama. Do you remember how many yards we piled up rushing on Alabama?
Yeah, but you know how we do it? We do it out of the spread, which is a completely different game.
That
we
is
stretch
true.
Them. We stretch them. And when you line up, that's what everybody said about coming into this game, that from a pro set, you're not going to be able, with a kid like Harris who can hardly throw the ball downfield, you're not going to be able to move the ball on Alabama consistently on the ground. I thought Fournette's the one guy that can do it. And here's the thing about Fournette. He's got 8 rushes so far for 18 yards. Don't sleep on him because he can rip one off for 60 just like that
well,
on you.
If fellas,
like
Herschel
used to.
They just got
to
hit a couple of passes, and it looks like they're spreading out a little bit here. If they hit a couple of passes and Bama has to back off a little bit, and this is going to long way to go here.
Passes. They've got a lot of drop passes here tonight.
Thank you, Don.
All right. See you guys.
We do not. And some people on Twitter just put, I'm not an Alabama fan, but Roll Tide. Let me tell you something, brother. I don't put Roll Tide on my Twitter account. I don't say stuff like that. I wouldn't care if Alabama was going against, you name the opponent. I am not putting Roll Tide. Why? Well, how about that human debris down there yesterday unfurling a big banner that said, let's finish what Katrina started. And nobody goes and does anything about that. What is wrong with people? Back to the phones we go. 865-200-5402. As I remind you, tonight's proceedings are presented by our friends at Smartway and Dalton Bearing and Hydraulics. Ladies and gentlemen, Dalton Bearing and Hydraulics online at daltonhydraulic.com. Smartway, ladies and gentlemen, you can find them at gosmartway.net. And let's get our next phone call in. Hello and welcome. You're on your fifth quarter fan reaction. Smartway, Dalton Bearing, Hydraulics presenting. Welcome.
Hey, Tony.
Yeah, welcome in.
Hey, this is Randy in Newport.
Hey, Randy in beautiful Newport. Welcome in, man.
Well, I feel like I'm on talk show royalty with you guys on there right now. It's a great honor.
Well, Randy, it's a great honor to talk to you, and I really appreciate you spending part of your Saturday with us, man.
Every Saturday. Just a general comment tonight about, you know, our style of play and what happened to that field tonight. It just seemed to, as the game went on, it neutralized us because, you know, I thought going into the game, our strength was the perimeter. And it just wasn't there, you know, once the field started breaking down. And, you know, at one point I'm thinking it's time to get Doug's rug back out there.
Bino, thoughts?
I was as disappointed with our playing surface tonight as I've ever been over there that I can remember. I know we've had some rain. You mentioned Katrina. We hadn't had Katrina-style rains, and that's the way that that field played tonight. I have never seen the field where the footing appeared to be so bad at Neyland Stadium. I don't know what they need to do, but they need to do something. That was ridiculous. It was like playing on a hockey rink, and there's no excuse for that.
Yeah, but, you know, at one time, I thought we had, like, you know, the best grounds crew, and I don't know if there was a change a couple years ago or something, but it's definitely not the same that it used to be, because, you know, the temperature was different, but tonight's game was no different than that 98 Arkansas game. It rained all day and all night, and something just doesn't look right. And, you know, I'm sure when the coach of analytics starts charting everything over the tonight and tomorrow, I just can't imagine how many times he sees us fall down. And it seemed like we fell more than them, but of course, you know, I watched through orange glasses. Hey, but one other thing, I got to jump off here. I'm getting ready to go through a bad cell area.
You know what, though? If I can stop you, our style is more precise than theirs offensively. We have so many more things going on offensively for us to have a successful play, so there is going to be a ton of slipping on our part. Yeah. I don't think you were seeing things. You know, they went into 12 personnel, and they went with that one back, two tight end look, and, brother, they brought it at us there for a while.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, before I go through this, I'm about to go through the holler here in Newport. Don't lose my cell, but I just want to say this. Lost a good friend to cancer this year, and to see Eric Berry out there tonight, that was cool, because when he first got diagnosed, I remember thinking, I hope that he gets past this, and one night, you know, he could come out before the game, and Vol Nation could just show their love for him. And so it's really cool.
Hey, praise God for that, man. And thanks for remembering your friend, too. Thank you.
All right, talk to you guys later, and go Vols.
Thank you. Cancer has taken somebody near and dear to me, actually several people, and I know it's had a spot in Bino's heart as well. That's something I wish we could eradicate. By the way, LSU just went on top, just went up top for a 45-yard touchdown pass. Harris puts a ball right on the money. And it is now all of a sudden a 10-7 game, so LSU answers.
You know, it's interesting. We so much scrutiny on Butch Jones and his offense, and whether it's Bajakian or DeBoard. LSU always has elite talent. This Brandon Harris kid throws a beautiful deep ball.
Yes, he does.
Zach Mettenberger threw a beautiful deep ball. They had Odell Beckham and couldn't get in the ball. This Traven Doral kid is amazing as a wide receiver. Cameron down there, their fans can't stand him. Alabama fans are ready to see Lane Kiffin get out of there. It's just part of the condition of the fan.
Amen.
In college football,
the money's so great. We were talking about it yesterday. I'm sitting with a guy that's in the business of sports, and Bino was with me yesterday, and we have a dear friend that's in the business of sports. And he's sitting there telling us that Butch Jones is going to make $5 million a year. And we're just, you know, and Bino and I were looking at him like, or he's going to go over $4 million this offseason. And we're going, why? And he goes, because it's the business. And I'm going, that's why every fan base is pissed off. Because you pay these guys so much money now at every school, Bino, that somebody's going to win. And somebody's going to lose. In theory, it's a great thing that they guys make this money. But that's why the fan base is now all focused on these damn coaches. It's not Mississippi State. I'm playing Dan Mullen. Tonight they flashed up a graphic on the SEC Network about some game that they have next week, and it's Texas A&M and somebody, and they kept showing the two coaches. Nobody tunes in to watch two coaches. I am not watching this game tonight to watch Nick Saban's hair color and him prance around the sidelines, or see who Lane Kiffin has in the second row who he's going to get with later tonight. Nobody cares about that. And nobody cares about Les Miles. I want to watch some rock'em sock'em football. I want to see this kid. Get the guy on the ground. Get him out of bounds. But Beano, you can't pay these guys enough, right? I mean, that's what we learned yesterday.
That's true, Tony. And the part of the market that makes me want to puke are the buyouts, the guaranteed money and the buyouts on the back end. My question for anybody is, if coaches are making $5 million a year, plus when they screw up, they get not only 4 years worth of whatever is on their contract because they have to have that to recruit, you have to pay them $10 million on top of that to fire them. What's their incentive to ever change anything or get better?
Well, this might have been a million-dollar win for Butch Jones tonight, too, because if this was his last chance at a letdown, if they're able to hold off Missouri and Vanderbilt and they close out on a four-game winning streak, if they win a bowl game, we talked about it last week, Tony, his agent's probably already formulating his sales pitch. Oh, Butch Jones is in play at Virginia Tech. Oh, Miami might call Butch Jones. He just won 5 in a row. He went 9-4 after a rough start. You better show this guy some love, or he's going to bolt the first chance he gets, and he's going to get a raise and a contract extension at the end of this season.
Back to the phones we go. I don't let anybody hold me up. I don't let anybody hold me up. Go ahead, Beano.
Yeah, I was just telling Bubsy he's exactly right. That's the exact scenario that's going to play out.
Well, I don't let anybody hold me up. I don't care. Back to the phones we go. 865-200-5402. Next call in, Smartway Dalton Behring Hydraulic fifth quarter fan reaction. Welcome in. Hello and welcome. Yeah, go right ahead.
Tony there?
Yes, I sure am. Please turn me down in the background or wherever that is and go right ahead.
Turn that off, Sam.
Hey, thank you.
Well, this is Mark, and I'm a student at UT.
Hey, Mark. Great to talk to you, man. What are you studying at UT?
Oh, I'm a pool science and a business minor.
Oh, good for
you.
Where do you live?
You might know Sam. I live in Maryville.
Okay.
You might know Sam. He's called in a couple times. He's an engineering student. He's one of my best buddies. And you know what? These people calling in, the past two guys, first off, you're calling in at night complaining. I mean, we won, you know, like a win's a win's a win. You
great
know?
Win.
There were some questionable calls, but at the end of the game, you know what? You know who won? The Balls won. Okay. I mean, we can't be on this guy's ass, you know. And then Alabama, the game, you know, we had some questionable calls, and, you know, the kicking was, I mean, special teams was off, but you know what? I watched the game, the whole game. I was actually in Vegas watching a sports book. And, you know, I'm the only person in the damn sports book cheering for the Vols. And, you know, I was not upset, you know. We played our hearts out. And that's, you know, and I think we have the right coaches, we have the right staff to go forward.
Do you know where people are, Mark? And I think this is what's happening with our fan base. I think people are still stuck at that Florida game.
Yeah,
Oklahoma
I was there. That's going from the highest to lowest I've ever been, you know.
I think people see the talent we have, and they saw
and
tonight.
Get frustrated.
Yeah, and I think and I get it. But I'm with you, man. I think a team that plays a C-plus game that wins a game is what it's all about.
You know what? I was 4 years old, and I was fortunate enough to go to Tempe, and you know what? The best game I've ever seen as a ball was in 98. I was there. I saw it, you know. So, and then I came to UT 4 years ago, and, you know, I'm all ball. And so, I mean.
You couldn't get enough, man. That's what you're telling me.
I couldn't
get enough.
Yeah. I was fortunate enough to go. And then when I came to UT, I mean, I went to Dooley. First, I was starting at Kiffin. I went to Dooley, and, you know, damn, he's kicking me in the butt every time I see them team play.
How about this?
Getting back up.
People
the getting back up right now, and people are putting them down. It's like that. We don't need to go back into another recession.
People are even bitching about the field tonight. Like my cohort Beano, through the magic of fiber optics. And some guy just said on Twitter, well, if Dooley was back here, we'd have a perfect field. Yeah, we'd have awful, awful effing football. I don't ever want to go back there again.
The field problem started when Dooley was here, so.
He's a clown. and a punk.
He publicly advocated for tearing up the grass and putting in field turf.
I hate field turf. If I wanted to watch pellets, I'd raise rabbits.
You want to hear the funny story about the grass at Neyland Stadium?
Yes.
All right, so I'm at the fraternity house freshman year, and me and my buddy getting on the field on, we get on the baseball field, and we're like, you know what, this is cool, but let's get on the field at Neyland Stadium. And so me and my buddy, I'm not going to disclose any names, but we get on the field at midnight, and we sneak down. I splinter cell G10, and I go up and then down onto the field, and I got a pocket knife, and I have a piece of Neyland's shield walking field. Don't tell the management team this, but I have a cube of turf. It was in the offseason.
Yeah,
I have it in a mason jar.
I'm for stuff like that. You're a good young man.
In a mason jar. On my trophy shelf, right next to Philip Fulmer's signature and Peyton Manning's signature.
Well, I really appreciate your time. When I was a kid, I had a few life plants in my room, too. Thank you. Good talking to you.
Get some grass in
Thank
there.
Thank you. Bino, I had a few green things growing in my room. In fact, they called me Lynn Magruder, Bino. I was Magruder when it wasn't cool.
What was up with the white line vertically going right up and down the field in between the hash marks today? Did anybody else notice that?
Bino, did you notice that?
I did not notice that.
865.
Go back and check the film.
865-200-5402. Again, 865-200-5402. Bino, respond to a couple of the last callers, and then we'll go back to the phones.
First, to the young man, there is no cure for orange fever. Once you get it, you just die with it. However long it hangs on. The field, someone apparently not only has a tube of the turf, someone's got like a culvert full of it, because that is the worst playing surface in the history of this program. Period. And I tell you guys, I'm not sure there's not a concerted effort going on to assure that we go to field turf.
Oh, you mean that it's being done?
I mean, they're just basically ignoring it until the fan base turns enough to where they can put field turf in there without a revolt.
Well, if Dave Hart can save $5 a year by going to field turf, he's going to do it.
And he will, won't he? You'd save money going to field turf.
At this point, look, I'm with you, man. Football's meant to be played on grass.
I hate it.
But if that's the best they can do, and it's been this way every single year, just do it.
I know.
Notre Dame's doing it.
No.
Michigan's doing it.
Doesn't make it right.
Nebraska's doing it.
Doesn't make it right.
We have any more tradition than those schools?
Hey, all those, I didn't say that, but yes, I want to play on real grass. Our stadium's prettier than any of their, fields.
If Jalen Hurd, and he slipped several times, if a five-star athlete blows out a knee on this crap.
People slip on that. People slip on field turf. All those pellets
like
come
this.
Off. You've
Not
seen
like this.
Michael Vick blew his knee out in Atlanta on that stuff. Sure.
The thing is, guys, there's no excuse not to have a good grass field in Tennessee.
Period.
In this climate.
I'm going to tell you what Dr. Mike Fidanza told me, who's on with me, who I have on, who consults with, this is who he consults with. Who does he know? U.S. Open courses all over the country. He consults with the people at St. Andrews. He consults with Augusta. He consults with Yankee Stadium. He consults with the ballpark in Philadelphia, the one in Baltimore. Tons of grass surfaces, grass and dirt, all over the country, all over the world. He told me that we've got a guy over here named Brandon Horvath, who is an absolute superstar in the Tennessee Turf Sciences program that they have at the University of Tennessee. And they don't call him. They won't call him. And this guy goes to Soldier Field, San Francisco. He goes all over the country, this guy does. But they will not get him to work in serious consultation in Neyland Stadium. Does that make any sense to anybody?
No, it does not.
Okay, just checking.
But it's apparently the Tennessee way.
865-200-5402. LSU has crawled back to tie the game at 10 with 2:22 to play in your first half. Let's get our next call in here on your Smartway Dalton Bearing Hydraulic fifth quarter fan reaction. Hello and welcome.
Tony, Brentwood Don, how you doing?
Hey, Brentwood Don, great to talk to you, man.
Good, good, good. Hey, listen, Russell kind of stole some of my thunder. Butch Jones is, we're headed down the Rays train right now. This game was worth about $2 million, for Butch Jones, and his salary tonight.
So, the Rays train, huh?